Now, so Israel possessed all the land of the Amorites, the inhabitants of that country. In verse 22, it says, so they possessed all the territory of the Amorites from Arnon as far as the Jabbok and from the wilderness as far as the Jordan. Since now, this is my emphasis from verse 23. Since now the Lord, the God of Israel, drove out the Amorites from before his people, are you then to possess it? That is it your God that gave you the thing you are asking for? He said, listen in verse 24. Do you, that is the Ammonites, do you not possess what Chemosh, I hope that's how it's pronounced, your God gives you to possess? Now, this is the conclusion. So, whatever the Lord our God has driven out before us, we will possess it. That is, if our God opens a door and allows us to possess something, that's where I'm going to verse 24, then we have a responsibility to take hold of that which God has given us. Are you getting what I'm going to explain? Now, what I'm saying is very important. Now, if you notice something, the Ammonites and the Edomites, God didn't really allow Israel to take their land, all right? And you will notice it, and the Moabites also, okay? Now, this is the issue here. They had the inheritance that God had described for them. And like David would say, God appointed our inheritance for us. Now, somebody was now contending, are you getting me, with them for the inheritance that belonged to them. And Jephthah just made the spiritual principle here clear, that whatever it is that God has given you, then you have to possess it. Do you understand that point? Now, very, very important. I want you to just understand that. Now, quickly open again to Hebrews chapter 13. From verse 5, it says, let your character be free from the love of money, being content with what you have, for he himself has said, I would never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you. So that we confidently say, the Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. What shall man do to me? Now, there's a reason why I read the scriptures. Another one we're going to read, that's Psalm 91. We'll read in a moment. But let me just explain a few principles here. A friend of mine said something to me once. We kind of disagreed a bit about it. He said he was listening to me on radio. Anyway, this was what he was trying to explain. That doesn't believe that Christianity is a supermarket. You enter into the shop and you pick what you like and drop what you don't like. That Christianity is an entire package. Are you getting the point? Now, there was a sense in what he was saying, and I'll tell you why we disagreed. So what he was saying in effect is that you can't just reject one thing and pick up the one you like. For example, you can't reject suffering, all right, and just pick blessing alone. And that is true. I understood what he was trying to say. But I told him that what you heard me say, I believe it. And some certain things led to it. I said, don't make excuses. I was preaching on radio. I said, don't make excuses for Satan. I said, look, I saw people try to give me excuses. Do you understand my point? For why, like somebody wrote a book, said, childless but not less. Do you understand? Therefore, I said, no, I don't want to read it. That, listen, I intend to have plenty of children. Amen? Therefore, don't give me excuses for Satan. Now, please, I'm going to something. It's very, very vital that you get the point I'm trying to make here. Now, and please, don't confuse what I said earlier, that you must arrive at the stability of the soul. Because I have noticed something. A lot of people, okay, they make excuses for what the world... Now, let me put like this. When they don't understand the power of God to deliver from a particular situation, we make excuses for it. For example, some people, look, you can repent of your sin, but if you were HIV positive, you will still be HIV positive. I said, I don't agree. I don't agree. I just don't agree. I believe that if you repent truly, true repentance will overturn the sentence of death that HIV and AIDS passed over upon your life. I believe that. That's what I believe. Do you understand my point? Because you have not seen deliverance. Doesn't give you the right to excuse it. The fact that people don't get delivered. What I just say, which is what I preach about stability of the soul, is that you must be ready to hold on to God no matter what happens in your life. Do you understand what I'm not explaining? That's what I say. So I told my friend, I said, listen, get this point clear. Jesus told us a parable that a man went to sow wheat, and at night the enemy came and did what? Sowed tares. I mean, you won't say I'm a Christian, I must gather everything together. No, the day of harvest, I will have the right to separate them. I'm bringing out something. Just follow me. For example, you've heard me say it before. I learned how to abound, and I learned how to what? Abase. But I discovered a scripture that, behold, I cause prosperity to flow towards you like a river, and the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream. What I said, which I'm still saying again, I am not saying I'm destined for poverty. But I'm just saying material things will not affect me, whether they are plenty or they are few. Are you getting the point that I make? Please follow me very closely. Because part of Christian warfare, all right, is for you to understand what it is that God has given you, and you hold on to faith in that that is your portion. Do you get the point I'm trying to make? Healing is the portion of the believer. I believe it totally. Prosperity is the portion of the Christian. I believe it totally. Long life is the natural portion of the believer. I believe it. I don't believe that hereditary diseases should kill anyone who is of faith. Please, I hope you are getting what I'm going to explain. I believe that we should come against the works of the devil by our knowledge of the word of God and pray until we experience the power of God in our lives. I don't believe we just sit down and let the devil just drive the carry away what belongs to us as an inheritance. I don't even believe in running away. If kidnappers come to Enugu, I will pray against them. I won't look, listen. Jesus will look at his storm and say what? Be still. Last time I went to Benin, I was hearing stories of kidnapping. I said, you guys should learn what we did in Enugu now. You know, they came to Enugu. Then they ran away. You know what happened? We know the physical thing that happened, but let me tell you the spiritual thing that happened. When we heard the story, one child kidnapped here, one man kidnapped there. I enter house, I call my wife. Hey, they have crossed, they have reached this place. Let's show them what we are made of. In the name of Jesus Christ, anyone who has decided that this is how I'll make money, die in the name of... this is not Holy Ghost fire against him. I'm killing you myself. You have to understand the point here. I reject it. In the name of Jesus, this kind of... Listen, I do that. In fact, this is my own way of operating now. If you come now and say, Pastor, hey, praise God, I'm alive and well, amen. Amrobas entered our house yesterday. I said, let me have your hands. I said, they have made a mistake. They entered the house of a man that knows me. They made a mistake. I always do it. There's one little kindness God left in my soul. 24 hours for repentance. That's how I always pray the prayer. It's prayer. I don't have a gun. I'm not going to hunt you down. But believe me, my prayer is potent. My prayer is potent. So then my wife and I join hands at home. Say, no, not here. In the name of Jesus, we come against it. We resist it. We declare it will not happen. No, you see, this is interesting, but it wasn't just us. People here and there were doing it. Because we're hearing stories. Our church, we gathered and we prayed. You see, I've heard all this one of praying against imaginary people. You get what I'm saying? When there are serious issues, people don't pray against corruption in their state. They are praying against witches in the village. I said, look, you know how Jesus used to pray? He used to face the thing that's at hand. He looks at the storm. Oh, you agents of Satan, let me tell you, I won't die. No, he looked at the storm and said, you storm, be still. Please, do you get the point I'm making here? Brethren everywhere, including, I'm making that statement because I'm one of them. And they said, God said, very fine. He allows Satan to lead them to go and kidnap an important person. God has different ways of doing things. And that was the end in Enugu State. So when I went to Benin, I heard the story. When we went for our convention, I said, all those of you who are residing in Benin, let me show you how to do this thing. This is how you operate this matter. It is your right as a Christian, all right, to have peace of mind. Do you follow what I'm saying? I said, therefore, brethren, gather. Yeah, let's join hands. let us pray. After, in fact, I should start calling them and start hearing the story, because you know the way God does it. He will start, let me not sound wicked, let me not tell you some. Because I'm very, look, there are certain kinds of prayers I pray, very, very dangerous. If armed robbers attack any friend of mine, my prayer is 24 hours. So I say, God, you know, there are those who are destined for, who possibly can repent. Either hasten their repentance between now and tomorrow. Because that's where my patience ends. You have many children on the earth, I have few friends. The Lord is good. Now, I'm bringing up something. Jephthah said, if God has given us something, it's our responsibility, what? To possess it. We have to keep it. But what I want to emphasize, because my time is going quickly, is that for believers to understand something, before the children of Israel entered the promised land, God told them where to enter. Do you follow what I'm going to explain? Yes, he told them where to go and where not to go. What am I saying? Your life also, you know, I said something about the calling of the Lord Jesus Christ and how he studied the scriptures and saw the things that had to do with his life in the Bible. Believers also, listen to this. Listen to what I'm saying clearly. All right? You cannot get information from your wish. That's the problem we have. This year is my year of breakthrough. There's nowhere in the Bible where it is written. Nowhere. Nowhere. You can't make it compulsory that God, because of the seed I sowed in 2008, according to the time of life, to Jeremiah 2009, you are quoting the scripture inappropriately. Is he a baby you conceived that you are quoting according to the time of life of God? God says, okay, that your seed, I saw it. The time of life for that one is 16 years. What are you going to do? But that you will succeed in life, you can claim that one by faith and hold on tenaciously to it and refuse to give up on it. You can't give God a date. Your life, there's a process God is working through in your life. That's why, you see, God, we have to balance the message. I'm not saying as a believer you sign up for poverty. I don't believe in it. I actually don't. But I'm just saying that you don't get your satisfaction in life. Do you get my point? From the amount of material possessions that you have. That the first thing you do, you first use your faith to settle your soul first. And this is the interesting part. You cannot achieve that stability until you have studied the word of God. This is the interesting part. God has never said anybody should enjoy poverty. God has never said anybody should enjoy troubles. God has never said anybody should enjoy tribulations. What did he say we should do? Endure. Do you understand my point? And that's what we say we must all achieve. The ability to endure everything. But please, let me say it clearly again. Listen, I believe in the gospel of prosperity. I believe in the gospel of health. I believe in the gospel of divine health. And listen to me, because the problem is that people start making excuses. The fact that you are not experiencing something now does not mean that's not what God wants you to have. I said, look, Paul said something when he was writing to Philippians, that I want to experience the power of his resurrection. What does that tell you? That says that the guy was not experiencing it fully yet at that particular point in time. But he had discovered that the plan of God is that he should experience the power of what? Resurrection. What am I trying to explain? Listen, it's not just your desires. No. We are saying that we read the word of God, do you get my point? And discover what it is that God said is the portion of the Christian. It's my portion as a believer. The Bible describes the sufferings of Christ and the glories to follow. I was saying something earlier that you won't even drive me away. For example, I believe very, very, I believe totally that we have a responsibility because God reclaims the earth. Is that okay? I don't have time to explain that in details. But what I mean is that Nigeria is not the nation of the devil. It's not an Islamic nation. It's not a secular nation. It's a nation that will come under the control of the kingdom of God. Are you getting my point? Therefore, we are not running. As far as I'm concerned, it's part of my possessions. If God calls me to be a businessman, look, I'm a minister. Is that okay? But I told you, ministry is not just preaching. Okay? We are all ministers, right? If you can understand the word properly. God calls you to be a businessman. They can't tell you that, okay, run away now because dollar is now 180 naira and it's difficult to get at 120 or whatever. No. That is why we have the wisdom of God. Listen to me. I first understand that, like I said, I'm an overcomer. He said, the kingdoms of this world shall be have become, he said, it was prophetic though, the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and it shall reign forever and ever. So I'm not going to run away. You are not going to drive me away from my inheritance. You won't. Poverty won't. Are you getting my point? Troubles won't. Oh, there are plenty of thieves in Enugu. I start praying again. All the thieves. In fact, God, let police be catching their small, small boys. But the big man behind them, I command him to have a heart attack. And Lord, 24 hours repentance. That is, you can kill him after 24 hours. So if he's planning to repent, do it now. I said, no, you are the one that run from Enugu. I am going to leave Enugu by commandment. Are you getting my point? Like I was telling my wife, I said, listen, before we came to Enugu, I didn't have an idea that I would come to Enugu. It was a few months before I came. I said, so, I don't know. One day I can announce to you that these meetings will end December, and after that, I'm going to Kenya. It's possible. No, believe me, it's possible. But an armed robber won't drive me. A kidnapper won't, they won't drive me. I will wake up one day and say, the time has come. Are you getting my point? Until that time, poverty won't drive me. Why? Because I am an overcomer in the name of Jesus Christ. Troubles won't send me to America. If I want to go to America, I'll go because I want to go. Not because I'm hungry. Please, no, I'm telling you, that's what I believe. How do I know that? Because he said, behold, I cause prosperity to flow towards you, and thou shalt not run after it. It's scripture. Now, you hear my point? I've written it properly. You will not run after it. It shall flow towards you. I am the God of all flesh. Is there anything too difficult for me? Can't I build you a mansion in Enugu if you want one? So I won't run up and... Look, listen, my friend. Satan, poverty, whatever it is, will not make me run up and down. If I want to go to Australia, I'll go to Australia because I want to go to Australia. But that's why God knows. I'm not saying he must not, but if he can, he should just try. Send me to Malawi, Kenya, Botswana, you know, Sudan. No, I mean, you know, what's the other? Uganda, Congo. Yes. Because if I tell you that I'm going to Congo, you won't think it's money I'm going to look for. In fact, you'll be sending me a phrase. Pastor, how are you doing? Pastor, how are you doing? We wired you $100. I hope you have received it. Because this Africa, believe me, will take it for Christ also. All these warring spirits. You know, all these spirits of conflict. When we arrive, they will depart. Are you getting my point? When we arrive, they will depart. Because the reason why they are causing so much trouble is because people of light are not there. I think, look, I don't want to go into details. The way by which Satan vanishes from places is the arrival of people of light. Satan will disappear. The devil will disappear from our political sector when you get there. Are you getting what I'm going to explain? Yes, look, listen, we will carry the gospel of Christ all over Africa. Look, I will go to anywhere I want to go because God wants me to go there. I'm going to run up and down because of poverty. No, I won't. Physically, on the earth, there might be troubles. I mean, like in Nigeria, you say, Nepal coins light, I won't go away. All right? I will pray. One day later, Nepal will become stable. Before that, we'll use prayer to get a generator. And if we don't have a generator, we'll learn how to survive without one. But we're not going anywhere. You won't use constancy of light to attract me from the place of my destiny. You won't. If there are bad roads, we'll buy Jeep. We'll use our faith. No, believe me. But one thing is that devil won't take anything from us. We won't agree. That's the point I'm going to make. See, listen. This is the way it is. God has given us certain things, and it's our responsibility. And believe me, you won't know. You know, because listen, as a child of God, this book, all right? This Bible... In it, you'll be amazed as you read what God will enlighten your hearts to see. There are people who are afraid. In fact, I like a story Ken Hagin told once. Very beautiful story. Listen to this and listen to it. He said one day he read in Reader's Digest, and he said as you grow older, you get my point, you will get weaker, you start forgetting things, and your memory, you know, start forgetting things. And he believed it because, you see, it's when Satan has told you something, you have believed it. That's when your life starts, you know, conforming to what you have believed. Do you understand my point? Very important. He said that one day he was reading the Bible and he saw that Jesus was telling the story of the rich man and Lazarus who used to sit at his gate. And when they were when he lifted up his eyes and looked at Abraham and said, "Father Abraham, tell this man to cool my tongue," and all of that. He said, Abraham said to him, "Son, remember." He said, they suddenly hit him. This man is dead. His physical body decayed on the earth. Yet he was somewhere and he was able to remember. So he said, "Oh, in that case, you don't remember with your brain. Ability to remember is in your spiritual being." Do you understand? He said, "No, forget. No matter how old I get, I won't forget anything." And the man at the age of 80 something will be telling you stories that 50 years ago, and this particular street, the house was number 15. You know, he will give you dates, addresses, names, and his brain did not become weaker. Are you getting my point? If God did not enlighten his heart to see that, Satan would have told him, the older you get, the stupider you become. And he will believe it, and then one day they say he has Alzheimer's disease. Let me tell you another thing. That's one of those things. The heritage of a believer, all right, is that you will remain strong even though you are 120 years old. Believe me, I don't intend to become weak and sickly and old. I mean, as I age, one man, one day we're talking, he said he doesn't want to live beyond the age of 65. I said, "Why not?" He said, "So that you will not be old. Now they'll be carrying you from bathroom to toilet and carry you to the bed." Ah, I said, "At 65? What kind of mind do you have?" The Bible makes it clear that I will be old and full of sap. He said, "He satisfies my mouth with good things. My youth is renewed like that of an eagle." Ah, what are you talking about? Believe me, I have trusted God and look, I'm trusting more every day. One day I will be 90 years old. You will be there too. We'll still preach this gospel. Did I hear an amen? You'll be there too. As I straight like this, now so I go straight. I will stand and teach for 3 hours and I don't plan to get tired. 90 years of age is not equivalent to infirmity. It's when we believe nonsense, it becomes flesh in our being. If Jesus doesn't come back on time, I said, the day I want to go home to be with the Lord, this is what I want. I will have taught today. This will be a 3-day seminar. On the third day, I just won't show up. That's the kind of thing. And someone will come and carry the microphone and say, are we happy or regret? But we just want you to know. Our Pastor Bank won't be teaching tonight. He said, "Oh, what happened?" This morning, after breakfast, he went home to be with the Lord. I like that. The day before, we'll have been there laying hands on the sick, preaching the everlasting gospel of Jesus Christ. And by that time, you know, we are preaching all over the world. We'll soon start that one. Believe me. Look, listen. It is unto you according to your faith. The word becomes flesh. Whatever you believe will become flesh in your body. Listen, in life, stop making excuses for Satan. You know, this time of the year, I always fall sick. Why? Listen, the fact that we have not experienced some things in our everyday life doesn't mean God didn't provide it for us. And that's why we are gathered like this. We must every day discover the word of God. I like what the Bishop Oyedepo used to say. He said, the amount of discovery that you make is what will determine the amount of recovery that you will experience. Perfect rhyme, isn't it? He said, my people perish for lack of knowledge. One of my favorite expressions is that phrase, excuses for Satan. We start making excuses. How are you feeling? I'm not feeling very well. Why? You know, because it's January. The dust is plenty. I always have sinusitis at this time of the year. Why? Because of dust. And you have believed it. I'm not feeling well. Look, if you're not careful, you slip into these things. I'm not feeling well. Why? You know everybody is sick these days. This thing is just in the air. Me too, I don't catch my portion. We have to buy very small cars so that we won't be chopping fuel at all. Why? You know petrol is very expensive. We keep confessing, oh God, do you get my point? We are attracting wrong, evil, everything into our lives. We have refused to realize there is a power that works towards those who believe. Look, when you talk about mentor, a man who I'm trying to follow, all right? He's not alive today. John G. Lake. Paul said that I might know him and the power of his resurrection. Part of my own is that I might understand the working of the power of God, so I will experience the power of God like John G. Lake did. He was ministering to those who had plague. People were dying, seriously infectious disease. They said, sir, I think we should give you some preventive measure. He said, I don't need it. They said, but you can catch the disease. He said, it's not possible. He said, it's not possible. Why not? He said, this is the way it works. All the parts of my body, they are wired through nerves to my brain. And my brain is connected to my spirit. And my spirit is directly connected to God. He said, electricity is like the power of God. He said, electricity is the manifestation of the power of God in the realm of the spirit, in the realm of the physical. He said, the life of God is transmitted through my spirit, through my brain, and down my nerves to all my skin. He said, any bacterium that lands upon it dies. Are you sure? He said, try it. And they did. Put a motile organism on him, checked them again after they were all dead. He said, you see, that's why I don't need it. He ministered to plague victims like that. In the midst of them, he never caught the disease. When I read stories like that, I said, that I might know him. And the power of his resurrection. That's what Paul was talking about. I hope you are getting what I'm going to explain. Listen, look, our warfare is not to run after one devil who's inhabiting a black cat. It's to fight ignorance in yourself. Listen, let me quickly get to this because it's very important. I may finish developing next time. Practical tips. Practical steps. One of the things I've, in fact, this day, every day I pray, I say, God, please help me. You know, my new scripture, that will keep in perfect peace the mind that is stayed upon thee because he trusts in thee. I said, God, help me to keep my mind upon you at all times. One of the practical ways to keep your mind upon God at all times is to grab a book at all times. Read. Thank God for technology. I'm so happy for the heart he gave us in Kingdom World Ministries. We're not selling materials to make money. A friend of mine told me the other day, when I told him that our MP3 CDs are so popular, he said that people like them a lot. He said, I'm so happy that now the sales from that can fund the ministry. I said, Korogbalenue. Who speaks to you about it? Ola Nkawe, you there? What it means is shut up there. I said, how many CDs do I have to sell to pay $200,000 a month in broadcast bills? That's what we pay. I said, what's our markup on each CD? For information, when we sell, carry the CDs to wholesalers, it leaves it at about 125 naira per CD. I said, I beg, my friend, relax. What am I saying? We're not selling CDs to make money. The only thing is I won't give out word free. The only one you get free is the one on radio. And that's to entice you to want more. Did you hear what I said? It's to entice you to want more. You go to where the CDs are sold, go and buy. It's not because of money. But if you can't put your money on it, you don't value it. One day, so my wife was selling, you know, we went for a conference, so we took our CDs. Someone went to buy, said, you will dash me now. The way my wife answered the person, changed his mind. Even if he dash after, I know we'll collect again. For me, I feel so angry. I get angry, actually. When you drive up in a car and ask me to dash you a 200 naira CD after her preach the gospel to you free of charge. Do you know how much you pay to get into your house free? Then you walk up, you have the effrontery to tell me to dash you. If I swear for you inside, you go fall down instantly. But I don't swear for you because you're going, I know ignorance, they worry you. Is it actually annoys me? Somebody walks on and dash me a CD. Dash you a CD. For what? Don't you buy a recharge card? They sell you a CD, I'm only at 18 naira. You say I should dash you. What you should do is, man of God, only 180 for this CD. And it has 13 radio messages. Creating the opportunities for prosperity is one single CD. Has the whole series. Spiritual economics is on one CD. Some of them we have to compress. I mean, that's 13 messages. Life of grace, 13 messages. Life of purpose, all of them will skip onto one CD. And they return them for 18 naira. And somebody has the headphone, they say, dash me, dash you. The thing where I go dash you, now slap. What am I trying to explain? Why do we turn out those materials for cheap? Of course, you know, Kingdom World Ministry says the cheapest MP3 CDs you've ever seen. Am I lying? My reason is simple. We are not trying to fund ministry from CDs. I expect ministry to be funded from offerings. That's what I expect. And we will expand as much as God motivates people to give money to us. That's what we do. That's what I believe. But why do the CDs go out? We make them as cheap as possible. It's to ensure that everybody can lay hold on it, all right, and listen to it. This is what I'm saying. One of the things that strengthens your faith and allows you to know what belongs to you so you can believe God for it and strive in faith so that Satan, because you see, I found out what really overcomes Satan is the persistence of your faith. He said, be followers of them who through faith and what? Patience inherit the promises. Even though you claim you have believed today and you have not inherited the promise, don't worry. You need to have patience. What is patience? You hold on to that faith no matter what the circumstances dictate. 25 years we waited for Isaac, but did he finally come? Yes, he did. But because we have waited for 20 years, he hadn't showed up, it does not mean we now change our mind that God lied the day he called us into the birthing of Isaac. Are you getting my point? But the reason why it takes time sometimes is because God has a process he's taking you through. There are certain things he wants to develop inside you. I said something to you earlier, that when it comes to money, as an example, you say, God, I'm poor. God said, you don't understand, you're not poor. As far as I'm concerned, you are rich right now. You're just managing on the verge of more riches. Say, give me 5 million. I say, 5 million, and oh boy, it will send you into poverty. Why? You don't yet have the ability. He said, give me food that is convenient for me. Don't make me too rich or too poor. He said, if I have too much money, I will take the name of the Lord in vain. People say, that man doesn't know what he's saying. He knew what he was saying. You need to develop a certain amount of spiritual capacity to carry certain amounts of outward manifestation of blessing. So God said, if I give you that, you will become poor. Pride will enter your heart. That is poverty. Do you get my point? So therefore, I will withhold this until I have developed the strength of character inside you, then I'll pour the blessing upon you. What am I saying? Even though the blessing has not outwardly manifested, it doesn't mean you are not a blessed person. It doesn't mean you should now change your mind concerning the inheritance that Jesus died to give birth into your life. Listen, life will not tell it to you. You have to read. You have to go to church. You understand my point? You have to listen to a message. You have to. You must buy a book. Then people, the book I told them I refused to read then. They said, childless but not less. I said, well, maybe that's your portion. But for me, I don't want that. I'm going for something else. If I have to wait, I will wait. But please, this issue of just making an excuse for Satan, don't count me out. Listen, I like the way I preach my message. I'm not trying to explain that if somebody doesn't have anything in life, it's okay. I never said so. I said the first thing you do is to grab the stability of your soul. So I can walk with God and Satan won't use material things to drive you up and down. But believe me, he said, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in good health. Because I've heard that your soul is prospering. That is, we have the order proper. First, the prosperity of the soul. We stabilize ourselves in our soul through the word of God. Number one investment I tell every Christian you make into your own life. Believe me, it's God's word. No, as God is my witness, my own tithes and offerings used to go to bookshop, if you know what I'm going to say. Bookshops. One day I was broke, so broke that my wife, then we're not married. She would call me from Benin, have you eaten? We're on strike, we didn't earn a wage for 5 months. You know, you thought it would end tomorrow. It didn't end. So one day, I strolled out one day, and I went into a bookshop. And I saw the book, Heritage of Great Evangelical Teachings. Compilation of messages by people like Charles Finney, George MacDonald, D.L. Moody. What's the name of this other man? C.H. Spurgeon. Including the Reformation man. What's his name? Martin Luther. A compilation, I saw it. Ah! Plus another book then, historical book, Complete Works of Josephus. I said, ye believe. I didn't have money. I went back, went to meet one of my friends. I had some extra businesses to do. I said, Max, I beg, if you lend this guy 5K, I'll give you when salaries begin to flow again. I collect 5K, rush back, go buy the two books, bring it and come house. My wife called me after. We were not married then. How are you? I said, today I bought two books. Both of them. In fact, let me tell you how it went. There was one old man, security man at the gate. There was one book for young ministers by Mike Murdock. He said he liked the book. He would love to buy from one young pastor in their church. So the 5,000 that I borrowed, I went to the bookshop. My own books were 2,000 for one. Then I paid for I paid 500 naira for the old man to dash the book to his young pastor. Because I heard him say it before. So next time I came, I just bought that one and dashed to him. That he said, I want to give your pastor. Take. I didn't even give him directly. I just told the lady at the counter, give that book to that man. That's the money for it. So now, so all the money finished. If you have remote transportation money here and there, not, my change will go past that kind of 300 naira out of 5K where I just borrow. When my wife phoned in the evening, I said, guess what? Today I went out and I bought books worth almost 5,000 naira. She said, where did you get the money from? I said, I borrowed it from Max. She said, I don't have words for you. She couldn't believe. Look at this guy, will not get money, will go to chop. He's borrowing money to buy books. I know she said, all these people I'm blessing today, all of them, they must all go and buy me food. Because the times I was hungry, food money I used to buy word where I jacked that time, and now you're all gathered and listening on radio. Before you get to heaven one day and God say, you are old, go back here, how can you die now? Wake up, my friend, go and pay your debt. He said, Pastor, Pastor Mackie went ahead of me, he said, his children are there, go and buy them one car each, build them one house. He said, you didn't pay on time. If you had paid on time, it would have been cheaper. But now you're a multi-millionaire, I won't take change from you again. Believe me, let me tell all of you, listen, don't worry, don't pay me now. The longer it takes you to pay, the more money you are going to pay. You hear so? You hear so? A day is going to come. Listen to me. I know what I'm saying. As a matter of fact, to be my birthday, offering. Wait, Pastor, it's your birthday. This is a birthday gift. They will line up. 5 cars here, 10 Malus on the other side, and 1 or 2 new houses. And 3 people will contribute. Say, okay, sir, we're thinking of buying you another jet. You know, I'm telling you. Say, sorry, sir. The time I was supposed to pay the money as 2,000, I don't know what was wrong with me, but now I have repented. Here's 200 million. Hey, very good. For the time I went to buy a book to read instead of eating, the Lord is good. What am I saying? He said, I have treasured the words of your mouth. I've treasured them as more precious than my necessary food. Listen, I'll continue this thing next time. All right? Because Paul, when he finished in Ephesus, when he was leaving, he said, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you your own inheritance amongst them that are sanctified. What I'm trying to emphasize, I want to draw your thirst, your heart, to the word of God. Are you getting my point? Every time you earn your money, you should go to the bookshop. Number one, it shouldn't happen. You can't be coming here and they say there's one particular city, Pastor Banky preaches, you don't have it. And not only Pastor Banky, I'm not the only one that preaches. Yeah, you have to learn the word of God. Otherwise, Satan will deceive you that this is not your portion. You heard it before, politics is a dirty game. A good Christian shouldn't play politics. This is the reason why people go to heaven and they don't have any reward. Because you were supposed to be a governor. I said, but they say a good Christian shouldn't pay for it. So I decided to go to ministry and I became a pastor. Because he did not read. There was a brother, you know, he has to take some decisions recently that had to do with his going into ministry. And I was a bit so concerned, you know. So I gave him a book. I called him. I said, are you sure what this decision you're about to make? He said, I said, are you sure? He said, Pastor Mark, I said, are you sure? I said, I have a book for you. Olayinka was telling me that he and the brother talked. That you know, Pastor Banky asked me, are you sure? The guy now gave me a book. I gave him the book called Following God's Plan for Your Life. This is testimony. I was happy for him, the way he responded. Yinka said, the brother said to him that, before I got that book, I used to pray, God, strengthen me, help me. Is after I got that book, as I pray, God, please, is this your will, or I'm just the one going about this thing my own way? Do you get my point? Suddenly the prayer changed because suddenly realized that the fact that this thing appears noble does not mean it's my calling. Are you getting my point? That's what knowledge does for you. That's what knowledge does for you. Listen to me. This is my own scripture. He said, I will give them pastors after my own heart who will feed them with knowledge and understanding. God has sent me to feed people with knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. And I'm directing you to how it flows. You don't just come to listen to Pastor Sparky once a week and then you decide to travel for 4 weeks and not see you. When you are going, take your book. Spend your money. It's an investment. What are you doing wearing shoes? Buy slippers if you don't have money. Take the money, go and buy one or two books. Don't let anybody give any book for free. Go and buy your own. You will treasure it more. You see books I bought in university when I started having children who started writing on my books. They were kept almost like new. And I've read them separately. Even I tell my children, my books are not toys. If I see you near there, I twerk your bum bum. Please, let me stop here. We'll continue from this very point next time. All right? The Lord is good. Let's just give the Lord thanks. Let's just give the Lord thanks.